It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted. 401k. Almost all of us have heard of it. How good is it? Are we using it right? The main point and focus of today is to help you in this area. Sometimes they're 403bs, sometimes they're other retirement plans, but the 401k is the work engine of the U.S. retirement, the U.S. retirement planning process.
It's the mecca. It's the mecca. But before we get into that, Ed, you and I have been on a little hiatus lately from recording podcasts.
There's a reason, right?
We have. Yeah. We have now graduated from the minor leagues to the big leagues, and we are officially, as of today, recording this on video. So congratulations, Ed.
Well, congratulations to you too.
We wanted to do this. We wanted everyone to see us a little bit better instead of just hearing. And we're really excited to bring this these topics. You know, we talk about Ed's Edge in a way that we want to give you that financial edge through small behaviors. And so today we wanted to record this on video, make sure that you can understand everything we're talking about visually, not just audio.
This topic today is one that you could potentially use whether you're close to retirement, you're super far away from retirement, really even helping your children. You know, a lot of us are at a point where our children are getting into the workforce. And I just had a conversation recently with a friend who has only been in for a year. And I told him and his wife that if they use this right, it could potentially help them retire a couple of years early. And so we're hoping to give you a couple of nuggets, a couple of things that will really help you in this area.
You know, about 2-3 months ago, I went to a wedding. And I was actually with a client of mine at this wedding who asked me a very simple but very effective question that prompted us to talk about retirement plans and 401ks. She asked, James, how do people in today's world save up enough money for retirement? What's different than 40, 50 years ago? And I took that for granted. I think both of us take that for granted. What happened in history to cause the 401k plan to be so important? Well, quick history lesson. I'll spare this within a minute or less, I promise. Back in the 1930s, after the Great Depression was over, Social Security was created. The purpose of Social Security is to help with retirement, provide that retirement income that people didn't have. Well, in the 1930s and 1940s, people didn't live as long as they do today. And so Social Security was enough. It was about $300 a month when you count for inflation, all that good stuff. It was enough for people. And then people started living longer, inflation happened, government funding, et cetera, shifted from Social Security to Social Security and pensions. And so if you in today's world are at luxury of having a pension, good for you. It was very popular in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, the reason companies wanted to do that, they got tax benefits, they attracted loyal employees by doing so. But everyone gives credit to this gentleman who found Section 401, letter K, you can defer some of your own income. And companies caught wind of this and said, look, let's help people defer their own income, take the liability off me, providing a pension for you. And we'll give this option of a 401k. We'll give you some matching. We'll talk about all these things. But that's where we are today is the liability is on us to make sure that we get that nest egg.
When the companies were doing the pension, that was really the only thing at the time. And because of it, what happened was they were on the hook for providing all of this benefit to all their employees. They really didn't have a choice. And so this 401k really gave all of these employers this ability for people to take the responsibility themselves versus doing it on their own. And at the end of the day, it's people mostly putting their own money in versus the companies doing that. And so it helped companies because they weren't burdened with this, and it put the burden on the individuals, which is super important to understand. And that's why it's really important for all of you to realize that if you utilize this tool, this vehicle properly, it can make a world of difference. And that's really, really why we want to focus on making sure you understand the basics and you're taking advantage of it in every way possible.
And so parents, if you're retired, your children might be in their 20s and 30s. Make sure they take advantage of the 401k. Make sure they understand the 401k. If you're not retired just yet, you have the ability to catch up. The government allows you to put more money into your 401k. And again, this is your Mecca. This is going to be your retirement nest egg for most of you.
More money versus an IRA. So an IRA is really important. That stands for Individual Retirement Account. 401k is kind of like a turbo-boosted IRA. It just allows you to put a lot more money into it. And not everybody has the ability to put a whole bunch in each year, but sometimes we do have that ability to do it more than what the IRA allows. And so if we can do it in a 401k, then we want to focus on that. The other thing to take into account are, how are the 401ks different than an IRA? Sometimes you're not even allowed to do an IRA if you have a 401k available to you. There's some rules that the government has created that set it up so they really want you to use that 401k account that's available. And sometimes these companies, in order to spur you on to get involved, will do certain things. Like, they'll match. If you put money in, they'll put money in on your behalf. Sometimes they'll match all of it. Sometimes they'll match part of it. I've even seen sometimes if you put in a dollar, they'll put in $2.
So big rule of thumb, I think we all agree, whatever the company matches, make sure we contribute up to that match. That's free money.
That's like the biggest thing takeaway from today. If you have a 401k, your company matches, you absolutely should put in the amount of money to get that match. And the reason is, I tell people, it's like getting a guaranteed rate of return, like a rate of return. Like, we all want to get a good rate of return in the stock market. Historically, it averages 8, 10% a year, maybe over the long run. But if somebody puts in, let's say, 3% of their income and the company matches 3%, there's 100% rate of return. James, is 100% rate of return better, or is 8 or 10%?
I'll take the 100.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So we want to make sure you're always taking it. And once in a while, we'll come across people who aren't using the 401k, or they might not be using it to the full extent. And so that's the really big one.
So we want to definitely make sure that we put in as much as the matching will give us. So, you know, up to 3%, we want to put in at least 3. Should we put in only 3?
It depends. So this is where we take a step back. We don't just focus on the 401k and say, oh, I have a 401k, I got to put some money in. Truthfully, that's what a lot of people do. It's the type of thing where you get a job, you go, oh my gosh, I got to fill out my benefits. I know I some maybe
it's,
health
it's
insurance.
It's kind of a stressful time for a lot of people.
It's a stressful time. I just got a job. And so what happens is you end up kind of making these decisions ad hoc, kind of quickly. You sometimes do it based upon what the person who's helping you, the benefits person, you're like, what should I do? You know, well, most people do this. Or you talk to the person that's sitting next to you or your friend that works there, and they're like, oh, well, I did this. And so you end up doing that. Well, sometimes those aren't always the best reasons. And so I truthfully really, really stress that you want to take a step back and talk to a financial professional about it, or possibly do a little research, go online and find out what is the 401k providing you, what are all your options? Because if you just take that extra 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to investigate this, it could be very powerful in having extra tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. And I kid you not, if it's long enough, millions of dollars difference.
Yeah, I have a recent story of this. There's a woman who I've been working with who's rather young. She's in her 40s, and she's been making good money over the last couple of years. Her 401k wasn't as substantial as she wanted it to be when we first met. But her paychecks were strong and she was living significantly under her means. And so through some analysis, I told her, you know, max the thing out. You've got the money to do it. Max out your 401k.
What does that mean, max it out?
Good question. So she's under 50 years old. And so in 2021, the maximum you can defer is $19,500. 2022, they're actually giving us an extra $1,000 max. So $20,500. What does that number mean? That is what you can take out of your paycheck, and they call it defer. I'm not getting paid now. I'm deferring to later. And that's where that money's going in. And because you're deferring it, you are not taxed on that $19,500.
Now, you said we a little bit ago. When you said we, you didn't mean we. And the reason is a key number is the age 50. So what occurs is when someone turns 50, which happened to me a number of years ago, 52 now, is I was now allowed to put in another $7,000. $6,500, I'm sorry. So if I have the ability or anyone in my situation has the ability, what we are able to do is put in up to this maximum of $27,000 pre-tax or after tax. There's different types of 401ks we'll get into in a little bit, where anybody under 50 can only put in the $19,000 or in 2022, $20,500.
Yeah, it's a chunk of money to sock away. And the beauty of it is, here's the behavioral finance of it all that Ed and I get a little nerdy about. The beauty of it is you don't see that because it comes automatically out of your paycheck.
Out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. How often is that the case, right? When we pay for lots of bills, I mean, you get used to it and it works great.
Imagine getting $500 and then being forced every month to put that in a retirement account or something, sock money away. You might create excuses. Oh, my, I want that awesome gift for Christmas. Yes, we want to carve out money for that, but you might create excuses not to sock that money away. If it's automatically out of your paycheck, it's done. It's disciplined. You got it going. It's going to happen.
We have a chart that I've created that has three buckets. And the three buckets are money that you have in investments can be put into a bucket that you can access anytime. As it grows, you pay taxes on it. The next bucket is called the tax deferred bucket. It's the middle bucket that you can see. And that bucket, whatever money goes inside of it, grows tax deferred. That means you defer the taxes. You don't pay any money on those taxes while it's growing. And then eventually when you pull it out, that bucket is taxed when it comes out. And then there's a third bucket called a tax-free or tax exempt bucket. And that one, the money, once it goes in, it grows tax-free or tax exempt. You don't actually pay taxes on it even when you pull the money out. The 401k gives you some flexibility around these buckets. Most 401k plans allow you to put your money in pre-tax ahead of time. So if you make $50,000 in a year and you put in $5,000, you only pay taxes on the $45,000, and that $5,000 will then go into this tax deferred bucket and it will grow. This is really important to understand that the reason why you want to do this is because the money you'd normally pay taxes on, that $5,000, like if you didn't do the 401k and you just took the money and you get the $5,000 in your pocket, just invested separately, you wouldn't have $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to pay taxes on that. Maybe you have $3,500 or $4,000. You have a little bit less. And so what occurs is if you invest that and just let it grow over time, it will become a certain dollar amount in the future. If you put it into this retirement plan, this 401k, and it grows tax deferred, then that will be a much larger dollar amount, right? Because you started not with $4,000, you started with $5,000. That extra $1,000 might not sound like a lot. You do that every single year. You let it grow and compound. That extra $1,000 is working for you. It's huge and powerful. This chart will show us if you put in money over a period of time, it's growth over 30 years. And in this one, it's just a stagnant. You put in $100,000, you let it grow over 30 years. And the dollar amount of that What does it say, James? How much does it grow to if you pay taxes on it every year? If you pay 20% in taxes on it every year, how much does it grow to?
Yeah, so that $100,000 30 years later will be, if you see on that chart, $381,040. That's a chunk of money. We've grown our money. We've built our wealth. But compare that with the 401k.
If you put it in the 401k and it grew tax deferred, a significant, almost a couple $100,000 more.
Right, right. If you see that ending balance, the very top line is $574,350. So certainly a chunk more. Now, the difference here is we haven't paid taxes on that money yet. So if you account for taxes, you're still ahead though. That's the blue number, $460,510. This is an illustration. We don't want to get slapped on the wrist. So we're going to say for illustration purposes only, assuming very similar rates of return and similar tax brackets, et cetera, but hopefully you understand the point. You will have more money by deferring to your 401k instead of not.
So it's not just, it doesn't just stop there. The reason why it's so important is there's a big dollar difference we can see. And what almost everybody we've ever helped and continue to help do is they want to accumulate that nest egg, that pot of gold, that treasure as big as they possibly can get it. And the reason is because once they retire, then they generate an income stream. We help them generate an income stream off of it. This is what you're going to do, is you're going to try to invest it and then take an income stream off of it. Well, the larger dollar amount generates a bigger income stream. So you're not going to pay all the taxes on that 500 and some thousand.
You're going to spread it out.
You're going to spread it out. And so it's going to generate this bigger income stream. And that's why it's so powerful, that if we can minimize the taxes along the way, either have it grow tax deferred or potentially in that third bucket, grow tax-free, it can make your income stream be a lot more and last a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about for a minute. So we're bought in, all right? Everyone says, Ed and James, we get it. Max out your 401k, try to, you know, contribute at least up to matching, et cetera, et cetera. I put the money in. How do I invest it? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, in the 401k, all companies have it structured where they don't make it crazy complicated and that they give you any choice in the world. Usually you have a basket of choices. And as time's gone on, the 401k companies or the companies have offered these 401ks, which usually give you a variety of choices. What you want to do is figure out the best kind of investment choices for your situation. If you're younger and you're okay with having your portfolio fluctuate some, it's generally a good idea to focus on stocks. There are other investments, as we've talked about in the past, that are what are called bonds, and they're more conservative. They don't fluctuate as much. If the stock market goes down, they're more steady. But in the long run, they generally will not grow as fast. And so one of the key things is having the right mix of stocks and bonds. Preferably when you're younger, more stocks. And as you get older and closer to retirement, maybe more or some into bonds. That's one of the areas. What's another area that we need to focus on with the 401k plan?
Yeah, so pay attention to, you have this basket of funds, we'll call it 25, that you have access to. And you want to find the right blend between stocks and bonds, depending on your age. Make sure you take into account all the other investments you have. We see a lot of mistakes clients have, people have, when they're looking at just one account independently of another. If they're all working towards the same goal, look at them all together and make sure they complement each other well. And the pie is the right mix of investments. If you look at them separately, oh, my 401k is aggressive and my other account is conservative and this, what does that mean big picture? Because again, it's all the same pot. And so aside from that though, you have 25 mutual funds, let's say. Pay attention to the expense ratios on some of those mutual funds.
So it's the internal fees that they have. You can look that up.
You can look it up, exactly. And so a lot of us get married to a particular company and you know, T. Rowe Price versus Vanguard versus, you know, Morningstar, what have you. I wouldn't pay as much attention to that. I would pay more attention to the expenses. And a common thing people do is they look at past performance the last 3 years and say, oh, that must be a good fund. It earned 18% a year. I'm going to throw all my money in that. Well, every fund well, I shouldn't say every fund. Most funds have a particular area of the market, section of the market that they follow. If that section did really well for the last 3 years, of course it's going to have a good return. Compare that, you know, we'll use U.S. stocks versus international stocks. You look at international funds the last couple of years, you're going to say, well, those are bad funds.
Right.
They're not. They're well, just the international market.
They're not, but that's what we find, is we find people will tend to gravitate towards the things that look the best, but they go through cycles. Historically, international and U.S. stocks, over a lot of different periods of time, they take turns doing well. So sometimes those are actually even more attractive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So finding that right blend, and there is no true rule of thumb other than you want to be more conservative later on, more aggressive early on, but every person's situation is very different. So we don't want to just say, this is what you need to do, set it and forget it and ignore. That's why, again, talking with a financial professional or working with, you know, someone who is an expert in the area is really going to help you with that right mix.
Bottom line is, the more you're able to put into the 401k, the more of a workhorse it's going to be, the more it's going to create flexibility for you. If you're younger, and let's say you're in your 20s and 30s, you're not thinking about, like, retirement just seems so far off. And you know it's important, so you're putting some money in. But I'm telling you, the more that you do this now and put in that extra percent or 2%, the more that you focus on getting as much in there as you possibly can, it will create a really good scenario for you when you get older.
Here's another nugget along those lines is you get an, hopefully we're getting some merit increases, annual raises from our employers next year. Let's say it's 3 or 4%. Take that 3 or 4% raise and shove that into your 401k. You're not going to feel any different. You know, the paycheck amount's going to be the same. You're just going to take that raise and put it towards retirement, and that's going to speed things up, and you'll thank yourself in 20 years. So
this same idea applies towards what's called a 403B, sometimes even what are called 457 plans. These are all tax codes that are along the same lines. They're retirement plans at the company or the place that you work for. So you want to utilize kind of the general gist of everything we're talking about for that. Now, sometimes people are like, should I do an IRA or should I do a 401k? I mentioned this earlier. Well, if you make a certain dollar amount of money, it depends on if you file singly or if you file jointly, then you sometimes aren't even able to do an IRA and put it in pre-tax. And so you have to take advantage of the 401k first and foremost, and then sometimes you're able to do an IRA if you're even in a position to be able to have that flexibility. The last important piece that we didn't want to focus on a lot, but you got to keep an eye or you got to keep thinking about, is when you put this money in, when you decide what percentage you're going to put in pre-tax or when you're going to put into the 401k, you can actually decide on a lot of 401ks. Do I put it in pre-tax, like I mentioned before in that one story? You can also decide that you can put in what's called after-tax, and that's called a Roth 401k contribution. Just like there's a Roth IRA, there's a Roth 401k contribution, and those allow you to put in an after-tax, which you still, now you're in those, that scenario I mentioned before. You if you make $50,000, you got to pay taxes on all of that. So the money goes in after, and then you might say to yourself, Ed, but that it doesn't sound like it's going to be as good, and you're right that you only have that $4,000 to invest versus the $5,000. Except here's the catch. With the Roth, it grows tax-free. That's the third bucket.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
It grows tax-free.
So that's why we wanted to show you the three different buckets, is because the first bucket is that taxable bucket, gives you massive flexibility, gives you liquidity. You can access it anytime. It's good for money that you're going to use for things that you're going to access or need over a shorter period of time. But if this is money that's earmarked for when you want to save for retirement, you know, usually the rule of thumb would be age 60 or longer. Like, if you feel comfortable with that, you want it in that second bucket or you want it in that third bucket? And then should I do the Roth or should I just do the regular pre-tax? It depends on your situation. And again, that's where you've got to determine, like, how much money you're making now, what tax bracket are you in, what tax bracket are you going to be in later on? All of these things come into account.
Sounds fun, right?
Yeah, right.
Again, that's why a financial professional who will analyze that for you can give you good directions instead of you being stressed about it. As I'm listening to you say that, you're 100% correct. It's so important, but it's not fun. It's stressful. How do I figure all this out? It's a chess game, right? You know, talking with someone who knows about it, that's going to help alleviate some of this pain. So.
Yeah, and you know, we realize it may never be fun, but if you can get some of these basics down, the great part will be create more of a peace in your situation. And if you can feel at peace and feel like I've got my 401k, I've got my accounts set up in the right way, and I feel good about that, it'll allow you to focus on other things that you don't even have to worry about this.
Yep. So bottom line, it's your bread and butter. I think we've driven that point home pretty clearly now. But it's not a check the box, too. It's your retirement we're talking about. So with all that being said, I think it's time for our first video.
Time.
Food for thought. And Ed, you have a little surprise for us today. Putting on the chef hat, the white chef hat. Ed being the foodie. What did you call yourself? The foodie, the junkie?
Yeah, I think when I was calling myself a foodie, my buddy Matt, you know, he said, "You're not a foodie. Yeah, you're a chow hound."
Chow hound. That's the word. All right.
So, since we're talking about that term, what we want to do is focus on this week a restaurant that we went to recently together with the whole team. It's in Wheaton. It's called Altiro. And we got an appetizer ahead of time that was called A La Papa Brava. Do you remember that?
I do. I do remember that. And we have a picture of what it looks like. And I remember, if you've seen those commercials of the McDonald's cheeseburger and it looks so much better on TV than it does in real life. Well, this is not that, where the picture that you look at on their website is very close to the real thing. And so if you see our picture right there.
And it came out just like that. We got the picture of us. You could see.
Presentation's everything.
It's these, I don't know, like these almost, they look like fish sticks, but they're potato wedge sticks with
seasoned
with seasoning. And then they have this chipotle aioli drizzled on top with an egg. Now, Jeremy from our office is the one who said, "Hey, you got to try this," because he was with us. And so we did it. He doesn't like the egg, so we got two of them. We got one with the, it was a fried egg, but the yolk was broke on top of it, right?
Eggs done over easy.
Right, so it was awesome. Now, I don't just bring up this one dish because this is actually one of the few times I actually gave a restaurant another chance. We almost didn't go there, and the reason is because they have three locations right now. One is in Aurora, Geneva, and Wheaton, where our office is at. The first time I went there, it was like the first weekend they were open. My wife and I had a bad experience. It didn't flow well, and the food was just okay at the time. But when we went back here this time, I just kept hearing so many people were saying how great it was. So I 100% recommend it. Great, great Mexican food.
Tapa style, too.
Yeah, correct.
So good for shareables, good for couple dinners, et cetera, et cetera. So we hope you enjoy. We'll post that on the show notes. And with all that being said, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.